chewed on my lifesaver in the middle of this microphone and said, that's really going to sound fantastic. You all can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. And that's where we'll start off. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I've been kind of trained my thoughts because we've had Kelly's message where he talked about you have certain ruts that you stay in. And the way you get out of the rut is to change your thinking. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anybody's kept up with your a word challenge about every day or every time you go to the restroom or look in the mirror. But I've been staying up with it. Some days better than none. Mine is 2 Corinthians 10:5. I don't know if that's C-O. Anyway, casting down your arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that's the one that's trying to dig me out of the trenches.
That is 2 Corinthians.
Corinthians. All right, so we're going to read this scripture to kind of give us a springboard as to where we're going to go from here.
Can you say the verse again?
I will. And today's date is March 22nd, 2026, and we're in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. For as the body is one, and have many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were the eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one members, where were the body? But now are they many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, unto them we bestow more abundant honor, and to the uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to those parts which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues, etc. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of the miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and I will show, and yet I show, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That whole verse there has a whole mouthful. And a lot of times you use a lot of verses when you're teaching and stuff, but that one's so chunky that it's going to probably cover just about everything I was planning on saying tonight. The title of this message is called Teamwork. And the reason I came up with this message is because I was thinking about how in sports and athletic events, the Olympics or pro sports or high school or even college sports, there's so many working pieces that go into putting a game together that people don't realize it. And how when we have a body like this, we all have little parts. Even if we don't seem as comely as other folks, or some people are feeble, or some people seem really intelligent, and we got some folks that are just down to brass tacks, just kind of show you like they see it. I kind of fit that category. But we do need the folks to bring the academic part. We do need folks to bring the practical part. That's how we can all function together in our walk with the Lord and as a group, you know, in serving the Lord. So I was thinking about like a football game. You got the defense, you got the offense. You got the defense, and what they're going to do is to protect or block something from having the ball go forward to the goal. And in us, if we see somebody that might be having a problem, there's an intervention of sorts in a way to point that person in the right direction so that they can take Jesus to the next level. That's kind of like the ball. In football games, you got, well, some people don't know how to do it on their own, so that's why you have offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators. You have special teams. Maybe your one thing in life is to kick the ball over the goal. It seems like a very minimal skill to have, but that is so important. Many games have been won by kicking the ball through the field goal post. And they need somebody in charge of special teams as well. Even if not that, you have a referee, you have volunteers, you have folks to put people in the parking lot. There are so many parts to doing that. How much more will all of us? You think about the people who have come to Sonship and have left, but what their one little thing that they contribute isn't here anymore. I think about Edie. Edie would come and she would be diligent to bring us a sack of grocery sacks that have been folded and rolled up. I mean, most of us take those grocery sacks and stuff them in a sock. She would go through the trouble of doing that. And it doesn't seem like it's very spiritual, but the thing is the act of doing that simple thing made our lives a little bit easier so that, you know, we can appreciate that. Kids, it was fun. We started doing the communion, and you could run and do the cups. I'm going to let you know I appreciated when you all would run around and do the cups. Lately, I've noticed there's a little bit of a slack in doing that because of the, we don't need to do that. So now we got the adults going around getting the cups. But, you know, there's a blessing to doing even the smallest job. And the other thing is with the body, if they want to take a break, let them take a break. And then you go be the best cup getter at all. We'll put Andrew in charge of that. You go do it, and you have a ball picking up those cups, and you get the blessing from the Lord. And when the other folks are taking a break, when they're ready to step back in, they're going to jump back in and do it even better than they did before. And they're going to throw it in the garbage can and not splash it on the wall. So you see, your skills in communion cup picking up is going to increase because you had a chance to kind of ponder. You'll see what the other folks do, and you can do a little bit better.
That's right.
I bet you weren't. Didn't think I was going to talk about that today, huh?
I didn't think so.
The Bible emphasizes the importance of working together, encouraging each other, and using our talents to the best of our ability. Some people in here, maybe the kids, don't realize that the Lord has given you talents, and or there's something that you'd like to do and it's holding you back a little bit. If you think it's something you should do and you're not comfortable, check with some of the leadership and say, you know, I would really like to da-da-da-da, X, Y, and Z. Then jump in it until it feels comfortable for you. You never know, the Lord might put an anointing on you that would just blow us all away. Mark, for an example, he could just jump up here and play guitars like everybody else, but he saw a need, something that needed to be, have a little bit bitter, bigger element for the music, so he started playing the bass, and it's a good thing. And I'm not going to tell you where he got his strings from, but he has very good ways of figuring out how to get things done with what he's got. And he found a pair of strings to put on his bass, and is doing. He's getting better and better and better.
Thank you.
So, teamwork is what we're talking about. I'm not going to let you rest on your Bible flipping right now. Romans 12, 4 through 5 says, "For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office." We don't have the same talent, everybody. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Our gifts and talents should be used individually and collectively, that we can have His will be done on the earth. And as we work together individually and collectively, that kind of bonds together a unity. It'll knit us together so that we function better. Ephesians 4, verse 3 through 6. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." I think the Lord was a little bit of a southerner. So in you all.
King James was.
Yeah, King James. Y'all love that King James. That's fine. But it's funny, when you get tired, sometimes King James makes you go, up, 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 up. It's like, okay.
Yeah,
I'll go back to my New American one day.
Oh, no.
"But unto every one of us is given grace," not that grace, "according to the measure of the gift of God." See, if there's something that we should be functioning in, the Lord's going to give you the ability to do it. He gives you grace to do those kinds of things. Today, I tell you, with the pollen and stuff in the air, I'm not functioning 100%. It's because of the pollen in the air, and my eyes hurt, my head hurts. I have company at the house, but God's given me grace to show, bring the message that I feel like the Lord wants us to know. And it's that we are all important. We all have things to contribute, even if it's something fantastic or something that's little. Now, do you know the intimidation factor I have to get up here and teach after Josh? he's got a wealth of knowledge in that it goes way beyond me, and it goes maybe some beyond some of y'all too. But what I've got to contribute isn't what Josh is going to contribute, or even Reverend Natalie, and they got a different style, a different flavor. And we all need to get ready to participate in what the Lord's put on our hearts to participate in. Because if you're going through life and something doesn't quite feel right, like you got your left shoe and your right shoe mixed up, it could be that the Lord wants you to do something and you're not functioning yet. So go ahead and give it a try and function and see if life doesn't get a little bit better for you. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." We should be helping each other, realizing we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You should be able to share your help with other folks so that, anyway, they appreciate it. And also that you might see something that they're blinded to, or might give them an idea that, aha, that's what I need to know about. It's okay to share with people, and I'm sure most of us would welcome it. If we're sharing truthfully. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as also you do. Encourage one another and build one another up." In Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." If you're in a sports team, if you miss practices, sometime, but when it gets to be game time, your teammates are going to say, "Uh-huh. Are we seeing church?" Now, I know some people got issues and illnesses, but some people that just miss just for the heck of it. Not you, Stan. I told him to stay home. He has something to do. But anyway, we shouldn't forsake or neglect the assemblies of ourselves, because just like in a team, if it's game day and you know that your quarterback took the day off to do X, Y, Z, and they're going to be playing because they're the hot shot quarterback, there's hard feelings kind of built up. I'm not saying that so much in church, but if you take that analogy to church, it could be applicable. But, you know, not those folks who don't feel good. Stay home and rest up, you know. You know who you are. I'm not saying nothing.
Not calling anybody out.
I'm not calling anybody out. Romans 15:1, "We then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." I mean, I'm going to tell you that I used to do more with the singing and playing guitar and leading and stuff like that. But I tell you, during this phase, I think the Lord has had me back off some, and Justin coming up, Natalie singing, going on up. So they're bearing the burdens of, I'm sorry, sometimes I'm a burden. There's times also when, you know, Justin would say, "Will you cover?" I say, "Sure, I'll do it. No problem." We ought to all do that. Somebody's trying to teach and they can't teach, call Kelly. Kelly will put somebody in there to sub it. We absorb it when we need it. And that's a good, we should all have understanding to help each other. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another." I've told you enough of my faults. "And pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Team building takes a lot of work, and sometimes it doesn't happen just on Thursday nights or Sunday nights or Tuesday nights. It might be a phone call. You might have to tell somebody, "Hey, I am sorry I missed this," or "Sorry I can't do X, Y, or Z," or "I'm sorry I was out of line and said something that was not appropriate to be said," which I have to do that too. But that's what causes the team building. I know I get calls from Beth. I need Beth to call me every once in a while. But that's part of what her gift is, and that kind of helps me. Even in times where, you know, we have to be accountable. Well, let me tell you what I did this, or how has this been going on? We all need to have a little bit of an accountability partner, which is good. That's called team building. It gets us better. John 4, 37-38 say, and herein is a saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon you did you bestowed no labor. Other men have labored, and ye enter into their labor. See, this is kind of a teammate thing. I mean, it shows that one person will prepare the ground, one person will plant the seed, and the other guy will do the harvest. You're not made to do everything. We all have to take over. You know, you might be planting, you might be preparing the ground, pulling the weeds, you might plant the seed, and you might harvest it. It doesn't stop there. You might have to be the lady in the garden hosing the dirt off of the vegetables, taking it into the kitchen and preparing it, or preserving it, freezing it, canning it, or cooking it up and taking it to somebody who needs some food. There's so many skills and talents that we all have collectively that we should just tap into it and realize it. It's not a menial job to do those things. They're very necessary. And you know, I know that I think it was Paul sent the disciples out two by two. Sometimes you need a partner. But you know, Jesus had all 12 disciples. And among their group, you know, they got rid of Judas because, well, you know, Judas, what happened to him. Sometimes there's adjustments in your grouping, and that happens. Either you have to correct them, or sometimes they get eliminated by whatever means. When I've read and studied the Bible, a lot of times I'll go through and I'll say, oh, they sent a post to another city. I said, okay, the Bible has postmen. Or, right?
Right.
They did.
They weren't called postmen, they were called couriers back then.
Thank you, Andrew. Or they have farmers, scribes. Mm-hmm. When Jesus was talking about the lost coin, he talked about sweeping. Now, you know what? Jesus swept his house. If he didn't sweep his house, he probably watched his mom or some of his siblings. But I have a feeling that Jesus was involved in the same kind of work that we have to do every day.
Yes.
And it's valuable. They had bakers. They had those artisans, like in the Old Testament, about, you know, using the gold. The tanners had to take all the fur off of those skins and things and make the dye to dye the wool and things with. And if they weren't into that, you got the musicians, the dancers. Mm-hmm. I would love Jesus to catch me some fish and grill it and give it to me. Mm-hmm. Jesus had skills that we didn't realize he had. He caught them. He knew how to clean them up and start a fire and cook it. Mm-hmm. Nothing better than fresh fish. Mm-hmm. Now, anyway, he can come to my barbecue anytime. No contribution ought to be viewed as insignificant.
That's right.
We all have something to contribute. Even if it's picking up the cups, even if it's taking out the trash and filling up, getting one of those nice garbage bags and filling up the thing, that needs to be done. If you see it needs to be done, that means the Lord might be saying, hey, you got to do it. And then you go do it and the Lord will bless you. But, you know, that's what we're doing. We're trying to fill in the gaps, work together. If there's a division or something, try to get it eliminated, try to get it worked out so that Everything is smooth. So if the Lord's working on your heart, if you don't know what your talent is, especially you young folks, keep your eye out, because the Lord will show you what He wants you to do. And if you need help, or ask somebody, and they'll give you some input. What should I do? I kind of thought it would be cool to do this, that, or the other. For the Moors, I bug them all the time because I try to grow things in the ground, and I'm asking Ryan, I said, Ryan, what's wrong with my fig tree? I got 2 figs this year. And all I do is send him a picture. He says, you know, your soil, there's no enriched soil under your fig tree. So from that point on, I've been putting my compost and my good dirt and putting leaves on there and making sure it's gotten water. And so this year, I'm looking forward to the fruit that's going to come from Ryan's tip. And same way with Beth. Beth has learned all about how to make probiotics, so you got a healthy stomach. And I've been doing probiotics ever since. It's a very big help. And even to the thing that you would think is the most insignificant thing ever is gold to me. So we're not insignificant. She will bring me sheep poo for my yard. It's not insignificant. We all have talents to give and share. We all cover one with one another if there's a time where we're lacking. Or if we need to build up, we try to build each other up so that we can all be running on all cylinders. For one example, I saw Reverend Natalie's email about, if you want to do something about Easter, let me know. And I thought, well, let me just wait and see if somebody else kicks in and say, well, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. That was the wrong response. And I talked to Kelly about it. We said, well, we're going to do X, Y. We knew what we were going to do to help. But I thought to myself, that wasn't right for me to make Natalie wonder, is anybody going to be there to help out with this stuff? But of course, we're going to help. But you see, that was something that I need to learn to do better. So I guess if I can sum it, I would say, ask the Lord where your talents are. If you have a talent, let it be known how you can function in that, or get prepared so that you can function and help the body of Christ grow. Does anybody have anything they want to add or share?
Can I tag on to that a little?
Yes.
I think the biggest enemy to all of us being able to function the way God wants us to function is comparison. We cannot compare ourselves one to another. We all have different gifts and talents and ways that God wants us to operate in them. And it's funny, when we were singing the Good Good Father song, I felt the Lord telling me that He loves